We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in our journey once again to the cross, we come with our questions. We recognize what you have done for us, and yet we still have those questions that sometimes perplex our mind and who we are as your people. And so today we come with those questions to the cross, because with the cross, for many there are questions. And so, Lord, through the power of your word, help us to see that marvelous grace that you have poured out into each of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Lent, something we do every year. It's a 40-day period. And yet I would say that many of us have questions. Questions that some are difficult to answer. Others can be easily answered. And yet, they lead to other questions. I remember as growing up in my lifetime, that there was a time when you did not question. We just accepted it as this is the way it was and should be. End of sentence. Today we live in a world in which every issue, every decision made comes with a whole barrage of questions. It is a part of the rhetoric of our day. And in fact, we pay people quite well to be able to raise various questions, especially when it comes to questioning authority. And so we go to the cross. Cross questions. The three readings we have before us, and I love it in this Lenten season, all kind of fit together nicely into answering some of the questions that we may have. We start with the Old Testament. There in Genesis chapter 12, we have the call of Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, if you were Abraham, I know at least for me, there would have been some questions. I want you to go, to pull up stakes. You have this wonderful life right here, but go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. He doesn't even know where he's going. You think Abraham had a few questions? What the text tells us is that Abraham packed up his family. He went just as the Lord had told him. He was one of those who did not question. At least that's what the text sort of appears to us. And Lot went with him. The other part of that is that Abraham's 75 years old. Those of you who are close to 70 or are 70 or over 75, well, how happy would you be to be pull up stakes and go somewhere where you don't even know where you're going? Oh, maybe that happens sometimes. We just don't know about it. Yes, surely when you read the call of Abraham, at least I always have had some questions. Wouldn't you have really liked to have been in on that conversation between God and Abraham? Just think about all the things he had to do to organize such an endeavor, to pull up his whole family, to move his livestock and all of his servants and everyone else, and he was going to go where? Where were God letting? Abraham went on the basis of a promise. He said, I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. His story unfolds throughout the book of Genesis, and we see there how God used that call of Abraham to develop his own people, a nation unto itself. But don't we still have questions about Abraham just going and doing what God had asked him to do? Think about it. When you think about the call of Abraham, one of the things you need to think about, it is also affects who we are, what we are, and who we are in this world today. Think about the experiences that you have had. Or think about the world in which we find ourselves. You know, there was the greatest generation that seemed to see all the things that were coming and then seen more in their lifetime than had ever been seen before. And I would say that some of us even living today have seen more because our technology is changing so fast. We have so many things happening that it's easy for us to wonder where we're going and have lots of questions. Have you ever stopped to just consider all the changes you have witnessed in your lifetime, and then to watch them soon just be replaced with all the other things that seem to be coming? It's an interesting world we find ourselves in. And some of us struggle with some of the new technology. And then we go to the gospel. And here we see Nicodemus. We all know the story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he's a secret follower. He doesn't want all the others to know. And yet he has these questions. He has been intrigued by what he has heard Jesus tell him and what he has seen Jesus do. And now he comes because he acknowledges Jesus is a great teacher. No one could do what you have done unless God is with you, he tells him. That's Nicodemus's confession to Jesus. And what does Jesus say to him? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For which Nicodemus asked some questions. How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How can these things be? You see, those questions are right there in front of us. And yet from that comes, from Jesus' lips, those wonderful words, what we call the gospel in a nutshell. All of us memorized it as children, if you've been in the church at all. It's one of the first verses that seems like we all learn. And now we see it everywhere. You can go to a sporting event wherever you are and you'll see John 3:16. And everybody recognizes it for what it is. The cross answers those questions. Shows us God's love for his world. For God so loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We all learned it. But you know what we didn't learn was verse 17. And to me, the older I get, I find that verse such an important verse as a part of that text. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through him. Here is that gospel in a nutshell. This is what God has done for you and for me. This is what he has done for the entire world. It's just as key, verse 17, as knowing verse 16. Because here is God's purpose in sending his one and only Son so that you and I might have redemption. You and I might know his grace, that the world might be saved through him. And that takes us back to last Sunday's text, to last Sunday's worship. Cross purpose. What was the cross purpose? The cross is God's answer. God's answer to the many questions that oftentimes fills our minds. And then Paul wraps that so beautifully together in his letter to the Romans. Abraham, he says, was justified by faith, just as you and I are justified by faith. And so we hear these words from Paul. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. How did Abraham come to know God? By believing. Believing in the promises of God. Throughout that narrative in Genesis, we see that real relationship that Abraham has with God. And then Paul speaks about just being justified. And so we read there in verses 5 to 8. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin. Blessed is the man who the Lord will not count his sin. Hear that. Believe that. Paul recognized that our faith is what brings about righteousness for us. It's not in adhering to the law. And yet oftentimes, yes, we as Lutherans sometimes have a problem with wanting to be a little too law-oriented, because that's a part of our human nature. And yet Paul would then say, for if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. When we follow only the law, guess where we lead? We go down a rabbit hole. The law brings wrath. Restitution, all of those kind of things. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, Paul says, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all offspring. You and I, offsprings who have been saved not by our own doing, but through what God has done for us. That's why we have this season we call Lent each year together, and we remember what that cross is all about. To those who are perishing, that cross is foolishness. Yes, look at those three lessons, lessons this morning. Abraham's call. Jesus giving us the gospel in a nutshell. And then Paul in Romans revealing to us what it is to believe and have faith. The cross is God's exclamation point to every one of our questions. This is what God has done for you. Faith is not just a feel-good thing. Faith is much more than just feeling good for the moment. It is believing that Christ came into our world to take your place, to die in your place, to put himself on the cross where you belong. It is personal. Faith is personal. And the gospel reminds us that each person sitting here this morning, that God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And when you look at that cross, you have to look at what God did on your behalf. Yes, the purpose of the cross leads to questions, which brings us to next week to a crossroad. And that's what we consider next week. The cross and crossroads that we come to and have to do as children of God. Live as a people of grace. But your questions have been answered through that cross. In Jesus' name, amen.